Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Tuesday, September 8th. I'm Olivia Rose. Petersburg's Borough Assembly tonight will vote to accept nearly $9 million in federal grant funding for a haul-out project at Scow Bay, a few miles south of town. The grant comes from the U.S. Department of Transportation and was first promised in January 2025. Scow Bay doesn't have a bona fide vessel haul-out, but it does have an old concrete ramp originally built for seaplanes. It's shallow, so using it to haul vessels out of the water depends on the tide and sometimes can't be done. The borough is pursuing a project to improve the Scow Bay facility, including a new, deeper ramp, washdown pad, and extending the existing breakwater. The project is estimated to cost roughly $14 million. That's higher than it was in 2025. Permit limitations delayed the overall schedule. Meanwhile, construction costs went up significantly. The assembly needs to authorize it first, but the borough plans to use this federal grant, plus millions of dollars in other secured funds, to complete the construction. With the federal grant, the project cost is fully funded. Also on the agenda, local developer Skylark Park LLC is applying to buy two borough-owned lots near Skylark Way and the cemetery. The company bought several lots last year for a planned subdivision, which it would extend with these two lots. Skylark wants to develop the land to add cheaper housing options near town. The assembly will decide whether or not to move forward with Skylark's application and how the borough should sell the two lots. The assembly will also initially consider a slew of budget adjustments. That includes adding grants for South Harbor's sea float replacement project and the Aquatic Center's sewer line repairs, and expenses like repairs to the municipal building heat pump and two walk-in coolers at the elderly housing facility. It's only a handful of nearly a dozen items on the assembly's agenda for tonight. The assembly meets at 6 p.m. in the assembly chambers. KFSK will broadcast that meeting live. Petersburg's municipal election is next month, and several candidates are running for seats on the borough assembly. 49-year-old incumbent Jay Stanton Greger is running for another three-year term. He moved to Petersburg in 2008 and co-owns a local private practice counseling business. Stanton Greger has a decade of experience serving on the assembly and is currently the vice mayor. He sat down with me at KFSK to talk about why he's decided to run for re-election to the assembly.
There's several reasons. One is over the course of the last year, I've had people that I like and respect of varying political views ask me to run again. I also think we have very hard financial times coming in Alaska. I think I'm good at thinking long-term about what will be sustainable for our community. And I like trying to tackle budget issues. I really like working with our finance department. I try to learn from everybody I work with. And if elected again, I hope to keep learning from the people I serve with.
What have you done in the past that makes you qualified for the role?
Well, I think my body of work as an elected official makes me qualified to run again. I work very well with borough staff and department heads. I'm open to hearing from everyone. We need different opinions, different voices. And I'm a public figure, so I'm pretty easy to find. People can grab my phone number and call me anytime. And of those of you who have, you know, I'll get back to you. I think also I've worked really well with our state delegation. When JKT was a representative, I worked well with him. Worked with Bert Stedman through the years. Right now we have Rebecca Himshute as our representative. I like working with her on a national level. When Don Young was still alive, I was on the assembly during that time, and we worked together on several different issues. I've worked with Senator Sullivan very specifically about substance abuse issues and addiction issues in Alaska. When Mary Peltola was in the House, I worked with her. Meaning, I'm a pretty easy person to work with. I have good relationships with our delegation, and whoever is elected this fall on the national level, I look forward to working with them too. And I like to think I'm a reasonable person, and I'm easy to approach, so I try to keep a pretty level head, and I think those are important traits for an assembly person.
So, Jay, what would your priorities be if you were reelected to the assembly?
If reelected, my priorities are going to be, as they are now, to think about the long-term financial stability of Petersburg, how to encourage business to have a good economic base in our community and a diverse one at that. But it takes very careful financial planning to be able to manage all these things. I don't like paying more taxes than I have to. No one likes doing that. So the way we spend those tax dollars, it needs to be wisely and prudently. And I know working with staff, that'll be one of my priorities moving forward.
Okay. Can you tell me about one time you think the assembly got something right in the last year or so, something you agree with?
Over this last year, the borough embarked on a new project with Sig and Amber Burrell and Rockin' Road for housing development up Skylark and expansion. And that involved really a public-private partnership. The borough sold some of those lots at a reduced negotiated value to provide affordable housing in Petersburg. I think we nailed that one, but it took a lot of work.
Now, what about a time in the last year or so when the assembly got something wrong that you disagreed with?
That's a great question, Olivia. As many have been following, Tidal Network filed an application to purchase a piece of land by the fire hall. We had 10 months worth of meetings, public hearings, etc. And when it finally came before the assembly to sell that piece of property, it failed. And I think we got that one wrong. And I've said this before on the record, and I really stand by it. I don't think it's the borough government's role to stand in the way of businesses when they're following the rules. As a bookend, it did come before the assembly afterwards, and it was approved later on unanimously. But on that initial vote, I thought we overstepped our boundaries. And to be clear, I thought it needed to be approved. So I think we got it right in the end, but I was a little disappointed. It took us a couple tries. But we got there, and local government can be messy sometimes, and that's okay.
In a nutshell, what do you want for Petersburg?
I, like many people, want to see Petersburg thrive long term. I think thriving can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people, but I think we have some pretty core agreements on what thriving means. Jobs for people, well-paying jobs, opportunities for people post-college to come back home and apply their wares in their chosen field, or people who have, let's say, attended AvTech and acquired some very valuable skills can bring them home and contribute to our community, doing our best to, of course, support our existing fisheries while looking for new ones, maintaining good and accessible medical care, and the high-quality school system. Without that, you don't have a thriving community. I want us to continue to invest in the infrastructure that makes this place thrive.
That was Jay Stanton Greger talking with me at KFSK. Stanton Greger is an incumbent running for Petersburg's Borough Assembly in the October 6th municipal election. The assembly is the only contested race on Petersburg's ballot this fall, and KFSK will air interviews with each candidate. Interviews and information about Petersburg's municipal election can be found on our website, kfsk.org. Republican Treg Taylor is back in Alaska's race for governor. Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom announced her reverse decision late last Friday. Just days earlier, she had ruled that Taylor, a former attorney general, was ineligible because he had failed to provide personal financial information on time as required by state law. At a press conference yesterday, Dahlstrom explained that her reversal followed a review from the Department of Law. She says the review analyzed financial statements for all candidates in the general election and found that about three quarters had some sort of discrepancy. She said she was no longer confident that the same standards had been applied to all candidates.
The information from Department of Law raised enough questions. I could not rely on that earlier recommendation. My decision, I believe, was necessary for the integrity and the orderly administration of the election. And I believe this decision serves the public.
Dahlstrom said the ballot is now set unless a court orders a change. In a post on social media, Taylor wrote, in part, "Man, I'm getting whiplash." Taylor had finished fifth in Alaska's primary, but moved into the top four after Democrat Tom Begich dropped out. Taylor's reinstatement puts him back on the November ballot in Alaska's high-stakes governor's race. He'll face Democrat Jonathan Kreis Tompkins and fellow Republicans Bernadette Wilson and former Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson. A team is set to recover the Coast Guard helicopter that crashed atop Sitka's Harbor Mountain earlier this summer. The Coast Guard MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter crashed during a training flight in June. The four onboard crew members from Air Station Sitka survived with minor injuries. The cause is currently under investigation. The down aircraft recovery team with the Alaska Air National Guard is scheduled to retrieve the helicopter from the crash site today. In an email to KCAW last week, Coast Guard spokesperson Lieutenant Pam Manns said the team plans to use both Chinook and Black Hawk helicopters to transport the Jayhawk from the crash site over roughly 1 mile of forest to a local gated storage area, Manns said the operation is weather-dependent and subject to change. In response, the U.S. Forest Service is closing Harbor Mountain Road to all traffic through the 11th to ensure public safety and safe operating conditions for the crew. Kodiak's annual rodeo and state fair was last weekend. The event showcases the relationship between horse and rider in various sports, including cow roping and barrel racing. But as KMXD's Catherine Irving reports, there's a new horse sport in town that tests not just the horse and rider, but riders together as a team.
Horses whinny to each other from trailers, and trucks even out the bumps in the gravel roads at the Kodiak Island Fairgrounds. It's a few days before the island's annual Labor Day rodeo, and people and horses have arrived from all across Alaska to compete in cow roping, barrel racing, and more. Among the people here to practice for the event is Kodiak's new drill team.
And we can pick up the trot when you're ready.
Tatiana Vodrin is one of the coaches for the drill team. She says this is the first year that Kodiak has had a drill team since 2010. Horse drill teams are made up of four or more pairs of horses and riders. Like dance drill teams, Vodrin says horse drill teams perform a choreographed routine to a song of their choice.
It's horses moving in a line together, in unison, or opposite of each other.
Horse and rider pairs have to change gait and direction in time with the music, and move in sync with everyone else on the team to make formations and patterns, sometimes while carrying props like flags. There are several drill teams across Alaska, some of which got their start over a decade ago. Kodiak's team is made up of 8 riders of all ages and their 7 horses, plus 1 mule, and they just started practicing together in June. But Vodrin says they're showing promise.
This group of ladies has been phenomenal to coach, and it's been really fun to watch from our first practice till now. There's been a lot of growth and a lot of teamwork too.
Being part of a team is new for most of the riders, like Nema North. She usually competes in solo events where she only has to focus on herself and her horse. North says learning how to move in sync with other horses and riders has been tough at times.
Some of the horses are naturally like slower paced, and then we have the other horses that are naturally faster paced. You have to kind of time like the slower horses to be more on the inside and the faster horses to be more on the outside.
Still, she says the people have made it fun. Pretty much everyone on the drill team already knows each other, and many of them are pairs of mothers and daughters, or sisters. North practices alongside her sister, JL, and their mom is also on the team. North says that she's been a lifelong horse girl.
I got my first horse when I was 8, and then I haven't stopped riding since. It's my life. It's everything.
The lifestyle doesn't come without cost. Mariah Heiner has 2 daughters on the team. She says horses are expensive, especially in Kodiak. Most people import their horses from the lower 48, which can cost thousands of dollars on top of the purchase price. And looking after them once they're here isn't cheap either.
The hay alone, compared to the lower 48, you're doubling it, just getting it to the island.
Still, Heiner says it's worth it to watch her daughter's dreams come true and see the bonds they've developed with their horses.
But the noses should not be out of line.
As practice winds down, there are still some kinks to iron out, and North has to take her horse out of practice early. Vodrin says it's been tough coordinating these practices on top of having a brand new baby. But she says she's excited to see how the team grows.
We're just starting back up on something that has the potential to be something really cool and something that can maybe become a tradition.
The team ended up having to cancel their performances over the weekend because of some last-minute difficulties. But Vodrin says she's proud of what the team accomplished in their first year, and she's excited to see what they'll do next. In Kodiak, I'm Catherine Irving.
For KFSK, I'm Olivia Rose.